When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm Sophie Ellis-Bexter, and welcome to Spinning Plates, the podcast where I speak to busy working women who also happen to be mothers about how they make it work. I'm a singer, and I've released 7 albums in between having my 5 sons, aged 16 months to 16 years, so I spin a few plates myself. Being a mother can be the most amazing thing, but can also be hard to find time for yourself and your own ambitions. I want to be a bit nosy and see how other people balance everything. Welcome to Spinning Plates. Hey there, how's you? How have you been? How's this week been for you? I hope it's been all right. What's been going on around here? Not too much really. We're just now on half term. But last week, the kids were still at school except for Kit, who was at home because his school broke up a bit earlier than the others. So he was kind of living the charmed life because I was still trying to work. So he was basically sort of dividing his time between the internet and meal times, which is pretty perfect. I think he seemed really happy with that. I've been doing little bits and bobs of work because I've got an album coming out soon, so that's been quite nice. Although I think whenever I've had a promotional opportunity, I've been dressing up that little bit too much just because I'm so overexcited to actually put on something sparkly and put some makeup on and some heels and head out of the house. In fact, the other day I did a gig. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? And I really loved it. I sang to actual people with actual faces. It was great. That was at GAY. Anyway, enough about me. You don't want to hear about me. Thank you so much for the response for my podcast guest last week, Nadia Hussain. I'm so glad you liked her and our chat. And I thought, well, I've set the bar very high. I must continue to this level. So this week I am talking to Louise Redknapp, who is somebody I've met a few times over the years. We sort of used to run into each other at various bits and bobs. And I always found her really lovely to talk to and really warm and smiley and friendly. But then when I started doing this podcast, I thought, oh, it would be really interesting to speak to her because she effectively put a pause on her work life for the time when she, you know, had her babies and was raising her family and now has gone back into work. But as Louise speaks about with real candor, you know, it's not been without some grief, actually, because she's had really quite a nasty amount of abuse in the press, actually, about the fact that she wanted to work and why couldn't she just be happy to stay at home. And there was even a sort of suggestion that work was her work has sort of spurred on the end of her marriage, which I find, I don't know, in this day and age, aren't we a bit beyond all that? Like, oh, you've had your kids, you want to go back to work, you should have been staying at home. It's a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? Also, you'll hear when Louise speaks, you know, she felt like divorce was a really big thing that made her think, okay, I need to find myself again in my work. And actually, I've realised that's what a lot of these podcast conversations are. You know, I thought when I started Spinning Plates, oh, it's talking about how we sort of balance it. And it is, but really what I've realised, what the sort of crux of it is. It's about how we manage to keep our sense of who we are. And as Louise says, you know, she'd had these dreams of dancing, singing, performing since she was really young. So for her, that's an instinct to go back to who she was before all of the other stuff, before relationships and babies and everything. And I think that's actually the kernel that we're sort of trying to protect. And sometimes it gets a bit lost in the wash when you become a parent. Or sometimes it might be the thing that actually makes you uncover really what it is you really like to do. But I think it's really interesting to me that Louise has been confident enough to go back to work, even amidst this nastiness, because it's given her so much value and so much self-confidence. So I went to visit her. We spoke when it was sort of quite new after lockdown, I guess, because I remember I was still excited to go around to someone's house. So I saw her dogs, her mum, her sons. We sat in her garden and I got sunburnt. And I knew I was getting sunburnt because I knew I'd sat in the sun. And I thought, I can't say anything. I'm too deep into the chat now. And if I say it now, it's going to interrupt the flow. So ladies and gentlemen, I sacrificed my pale skin for you for this conversation. So just bear that in mind when you're listening. actually, don't bear that in mind. You want to think about my sunburn? You want to think about Louise? Anyway, thanks for coming back to find me here. See you on the other side. Bye. So here we are. We're in a nice shady spot, but we're still outside. This is quite extraordinary what you've got downstairs, actually. I sort of feel like it should have a name for itself. I suppose it's essentially a sunken patio.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can see the green trees and the amazing blue sky.
Yeah, it's my little haven here, actually. Mm. It's really weird. Part of the reason I really liked this house was because I'm a real outdoors person. Even in the cold, I sit outdoors with a blanket and my book. I really like being outdoors, and I think there's not a day through the summer, even if it's raining, that I don't open all the doors up.
Really? Oh, that's lovely.
And just still have the air. If it's cold and freezing, obviously not, but if the air's warm. Okay, that wasn't me even.
That's a spectacular noise. I really hope we got that. No, don't worry, that was very canine. All the noises are pretty canine, to be honest. I don't think any.
Not me in the mornings.
If it was, that would be amazing. Really impressive sound you could achieve.
Can you imagine? Would you leave straight away if I started doing that?
You know, I like to think I just go with it. I definitely feel the need to tell people afterwards.
Yeah. So it's like they're all going to be walking around now,
that's
aren't
fine.
They?
I like the clip-clop of their little nails on the tiles. It's sweet. And you just said this bit up here, there's like a little raised bit where you can sit. And you said every morning you come and have a sit out there.
Yeah. That's my nice little sort of, at the beginning of lockdown, I ordered a sofa, an outdoor sofa. I'm so impatient. I had to get one that was in stock, you know, because I need it that week.
Yes.
I couldn't do the whole, we've got to wait 6 weeks. And I have to say, I love sitting out there of morning. I just, home, you know, it's like being in the living room but outside. So it's my little 10 minutes of peace before the day starts.
Yeah, well, you said you're not very good at meditating, which actually I'm exactly the same, but that sounds like it's a nice bit of tranquility, actually.
Yeah, it's finding your own form of meditating, isn't it? I've tried so many times to meditate and I sit there and I think, am I meditating? No, I'm thinking about what I need. That wasn't me again. I'm thinking about what I need to buy at the shops, you know, what I'm going to do for dinner, who needs to be picked up from where, am I ever going to get a job again? I start thinking about a million things and I think this is not meditating. I'm sure my mind's going 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
So I actually have learned that by doing things and busying myself in my own little space is better for me. So I just really silly things. I could go and tidy up the garden, or I jet spray. My mum thinks I'm obsessed with jet spraying, but it's because the noise is almost gets rid of everything else and I'm focusing on something, but not really. And I switch off. So it's about finding what's right for you, isn't it?
Well, I think what you just described, I think it's actually got a name. I think it's called flow. I think they call it that, where you're involved in a task that's got enough purpose that you've alleviated the pressure that you should be doing anything else, but it gives you the freedom to think about other stuff.
Okay, and I flow. Think I like
flow,
that.
Yeah. Because I think that's basically what works for me as well. It's like, yeah. Well, it's handy that yours is quite, it's got a cleaning. Mine was just building lots of Lego. Like during lockdown, I built an entire Lego set, really complicated one.
Wow.
It was a bit wow, but it's also not as useful as jet washing.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think everyone's really pleased that my flow is basically tidying up and cleaning and getting things in order.
Yeah.
I could never do Lego building. I mean, I'd get about 20 minutes in and give up.
Yeah, well, I can reflect on it and see it's a little bit of an odd thing to do, but I do like it.
But lots of people did that in lockdown. Mm. I saw lots of, like, puzzles and...
Oh, yeah, I love a puzzle as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I love puzzles. Oh, and Tetris. God. You ever played Tetris?
Yeah, but I'm one of... Again, I would just be like, oh, whatever, I'm done. I'd be like... I'd get a quarter of a way through and then just not finish.
In that case, I'd definitely beat you.
You would definitely beat me. I do that a little bit with the jet sprain as well, though. It's like I nearly do it all and there's the last bit and I think I've had enough now. I need to go back in.
Maybe it gives you a little bit of something to come back to.
Exactly.
You probably build it in deliberately.
Yeah.
I haven't quite finished that jet spray. And you're here with your boys at the moment.
So. Yeah, my boys and my mum. Which has been kind of weird. Beginning of lockdown, I was really panicked. I was 3 nights into a tour. I was... back in a run at the Savoy for 9 to 5. So I was really going. I was like, okay, I'm taking off. This is happening. And then it all just stopped. And I think it took me 3 weeks to stop having a major panic attack about what is happening here.
Yeah.
And then weirdly, I think as more people got more anxious about the time that it was taking to get back to normal, I got more... into the mindset of, I think I really needed this. I think I really forgot what it was like to just take a step back and be with the kids and not feel the need to be successful and to keep on, not fail, you know.
Yeah.
And thought, no, it's okay to just be.
And have some time in your own company as well, I suppose. Yes.
Yeah.
Because it probably felt like there'd been so much momentum building up to that point and working so hard and launching the new album alongside doing the West End stuff was more than most people could handle, I think.
Yeah, and I remember my management sitting me down and saying, how do you feel about doing a tour in between a West End run and releasing an album on a West End run? And I was like, it's perfect. It's what I need. I just needed anything to consume my mind outside of real life.
Yes.
You know, and it was great, and for that time it really was great, but I feel that equally it's been good to take stock a little bit. And
yeah,
I don't know, just really stupid things like family dinners all of a sudden have become a thing of the evening, rather than everybody just grab a bit of dinner, or I'm not going to be home till late but nanny's indoors and she's going to, you know, get your dinner ready. It becomes a real moment of, right, we're going to eat at 7 and I lay the table and we sit out here where we're sat now. And we have a real, it's an event rather than a necessity of grabbing something. And I think I forgot how important that was.
Yeah, I think what you've described in terms of your emotions with the lockdown is exactly what was mirrored in our house and households all over the place, I think, with that thing of the first 3 weeks, just thinking, I had this real feeling as well of like, this has got to count for something. I've got to produce something or make something out of this.
Yep.
And then I thought, I don't feel creative about this at all. I'm actually just really freaked out.
Yeah. Mind you, you did do the best disco nights. I mean, you did. And it took me a while. I didn't see, everyone was talking about it and I hadn't seen it. And then all of a sudden I saw it and was completely mesmerised and entertained. It was the stepping over the toys and the kids were just ignoring you on the sofa while you were singing. I was like, this is my house, literally. It just really reminded me of just such normality, because to other people you're Sophie Ellis Baxter and somebody that's a pop star, and to your kids they were just like literally lying on the sofa completely ignoring you while you were singing to thousands and thousands of people.
My sequence, I mean, I really went as far as I could to be extrovert, really. And
I think so many people could relate to it, because I know that when you were coming here today, normally I'm such a clean, tidy freak. I was thinking, oh my God, is it tidy? And I thought, actually, no. I saw you like stepping over loads of
you've
stuff.
Yeah, you've seen the inside
I've
of my
seen
house.
The inside. So I felt so much more at ease about you coming.
Yeah, you definitely... Firstly, the house is actually spotless. And secondly, I live in a sort of... I don't even know what it is. I wouldn't say it's carnage. But, like, everything has a place, but it's quite... it's quite full on. And also I love stuff and knickknacks and things like that. So there's just, I can't really leave a shelf or...
Very inviting. Because I live in quite an uninviting house. Like my lounge is barely anything in it. And sometimes my friends always say, like, put more of you in here. And I don't know why, if it's just a mind thing that I need services. But when I watch your videos, or your ITGs, I call them, don't I? Now, old-fashioned, your videos.
Don't worry.
You know what
watching
I mean.
Watching you on the YouTube.
Yeah, when I'm watching you on the net. I was like, oh my God, it looks so inviting. Like, you know, you could just sit there and have a few glasses of wine and just completely...
Yes.
Chill out and
that's
feel comfortable, which is nice. But I love them, by the way. I love them. I look forward to seeing what you were wearing.
Well, there was a time when I thought, am I going to look back on these and be like, that's a woman and going through like some sort of trauma, drawn out trauma. It's funny. I was thinking about you in relation to them on the way here, because I was thinking, for me, when the lockdown first started, I realised how much I needed my own space with work and my creativity and all that. It's so much part of me that doing those bonkers little gigs every Friday night, even though I was, stepping over the 1-year-old and this kind of thing, it would still give me it mimicked the same responses I get when I go to work.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to me, actually, because I hadn't gone anywhere.
I get that.
Yeah, and I thought it's clearly something I've built into how I am that allows me just to be balanced, just about.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've got 100% right, and I need to find more ways of giving more boundaries at home, because I realise I don't really have enough of that. But I think I needed it. And I was thinking about you because I was thinking, you know, obviously our chat is primarily about the balance of work and family, and clearly now work is so much part of what you're up to and it's this real passion. And then not having that outlet when you had your babies, that's quite a big part of you.
Yeah.
It's not just like you were working in an office you were working where it's work in a sort of much more functional way.
Totally. When they were young, you can almost allow yourself to accept that you're not working when they're really young. As they started getting older, and I felt like everyone's life was moving at a pace. The boys are getting older, they've got their social life. You know, at the time I was married and Jamie was getting busier and busier in a world which I only know, which is entertainment. And I remember this, I don't know who has just arrived at my door. I'm not expecting anybody.
If it's anything like my house, would it be Amazon? We're like a bit obsessed with
I have a quick look?
Yeah, you can have a look, it's cool.
Sorry.
Don't worry, take your time.
I'm on first name terms with DHL and UPS guys now. They're like, morning, Lou. Morning. Who's
ordered
what? Oh,
don't worry, me too. I've been like that for ages.
Like, it's like literally they're the only people I was seeing. So they were chucking me a package from across the, the steps. It's like, it's the highlight of my day.
It's quite crazy how touching, and we've got a milkman who puts literally, the milk bottles on the step. And even just seeing that as a little sign of someone having been at my door, I used to really like it.
Yeah.
Comforting.
It's like I used to always have a little chat and say, thanks so much, how are you? And you could see that you were kind of making each other's days a little bit more bearable.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to the real stuff, I think I got to the stage where it sounds really hard to explain, because I know like so many people had such an opinion on my life for a couple of years, like a massive opinion. It was such a talking point for people, and some of it very
completely
cruel.
Bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah, really cruel, because you don't really ever know. And you're right, I grew up from the age of 10 going to stage school, and music was my everything. It's what makes me tick. It's what gives me my confidence, which is so bizarre, because you're standing on stage in front of people, yet without that I feel very unconfident, but I have the ability to go and do that. But it gave me my confidence in knowing I was worth something, that I was acceptable, that I could walk into a room and put on that front of who I was, because without any of that, I actually most probably am quite an unconfident person. And to all of a sudden lose everything you know in life that gives you your fire in your belly, your confident to be what you want to be. This time went on, I just struggled more and more with having no direction and no want to do anything, and that really, really panicked me. And I think when I did sort of start getting back to work, I read some of the cruelest things about I just wanted fame and I should have been happy with what I had. And, you know, I was going through a midlife crisis and I just wanted to stand up and scream. From the age of 10, this is all I've wanted to do. And I stopped doing it for a number of years due to my family, which worked for me. But please don't, you know, hate me for wanting to get back out and do something I love doing, which makes me tick, you know. It was a really tough time, actually.
I'm not surprised. I don't know who horrible. Could experience that and not find that hard, even if you've got your family around you and you know that, you know, your friends and all that support.
You just feel that you let people's opinions really embed in your mind.
Mm.
And I knew what I was doing was okay and I wasn't doing anything wrong. And,
you
know, I remember getting offered to go and be in Cabaret, which was a tour in production. It's for 12 weeks. And 6 of those weeks, between Tuesday and Saturday, I would be away. And 6 of the weeks were near enough that I'd come home. And it wasn't ideal with 2 children, but my children were teenage, you know, or 8 and, you know, the other one a teenager. And my mum was around and they have a dad that can also look after our children, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember reading such cruel things that I was going off to do that. And to me, it was such a lifeline that I got to go and sing and act and do the only thing I know how to do, actually. And it was so bittersweet because in one way I was, after 15, 18 years, I was doing a job that I'd trained to do, yet it come with so much negativity whilst I shouldn't be doing it.
And which is ridiculous.
I couldn't understand why I shouldn't be doing it. I couldn't get my head round it.
No, well, there is no reason. It actually doesn't make any sense. And I don't think most people think the way the press reports things, all those nasty comments you get at the bottom of articles. I don't feel like I meet those people. I don't feel like I know those people. It's almost like a sort of separate fire that people just accept needs to be fuel put on it.
Yeah.
But it's not like a real thing. Anyone with an ounce of experience, maturity, sensitivity would see it a very different way.
Yeah.
But it's almost like they sort of accepted that that's the way these things get written about.
Yeah, and some people were supportive. And on a whole, it was, you're right, it's the comments, I think, more than anything.
There's such vitriol sometimes in that little bit at the bottom, which is
quite
horrible.
Unkind. And I never understand why they're there, because I think the only person they really hurt are the person that's they're written about.
Mm.
Like, I don't get what we gain from it. The only person that suffers at the hand of it is who the story's about. But I did take a lot of it on board, and it really panicked me. And it's taken me, I think, most probably to now, to actually go, no, do you know what? I'm okay. I'm doing the right thing by my family, and I'm a good person. And opportunities will come and go, and in our line of work you grab them when they're there, because you don't know when the next opportunity is going to come along. I've been doing this long enough to not be in a fantasy world. We live in a world where, you know, opportunities don't always arise, and now I will take and grab. And as I did when I was younger, I'm actually working on a book at the moment, and my thing that I keep on coming back to is I need to be as fearless now as what I was when I was 17.
Ah.
You know, that you grab every opportunity and you run with it, and you're confident with it, and you let no one tell you otherwise. Your mum, your dad, you know, your boyfriend at that time, you're like, well, no, I'm doing this because I believe this is right. And I think it's taken me to now, which is a lot of years on, to go, actually, I'm going to try and be that fearless again.
Well, it is a long time in some ways, but actually I think there's a lot of growing up that happens all the time. And when you first had your first baby, did you always imagine that you were going to stop work, or did it just sort of evolve that way?
Yeah, it evolved that way. I think when I had the first one, Charlie, it had taken me a really long time to get pregnant and have him. And I was living such a blissful, amazing life. You know, I've got this baby and I'm so happy. And it was lovely, and I'd been working so much as a young person in the industry that it was just lovely to have a bit of that time at home with the baby. And but you kind of think that you'll carry on to a certain extent. And then when I had the second one, Beau, I had already made an album whilst I was pregnant. And that never got released. And I think that was most probably when the panic started setting in, that I've written an album, I've recorded an album, yet I still haven't put it out. I'm still, but again, I'm that person that just carries on. It will all be fine, you know, it's going to be fine. And don't get me wrong, I had a lovely family unit and I wouldn't have lost that for anything in the world. It's just as time went on, I think that need to do what I do, just to, even if it wasn't on a big level, even if it was just going into the studio and singing and writing songs that I could listen to in the car to remind myself of what I love, anything, on any level, I really did learn, played a really big part in defining me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing loads of nodding because I sort of, I get so much about what you're saying makes sense to me. And I think a lot of it is just, as you say, like, it's not about, you're not thinking like chart stuff or anything. Like, it's literally just that thing that's yours, and just to remind yourself you've got that side to you, because you need it to feel the full 360 version of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not about the fame. And of course, earning a good living, which you can do from this business, is a massive bonus, you know. But I've also invested a lot of my own money and my own time, and taken nothing away from jobs and shows, and just for my love of doing it. You know, like the latest tour I went on, I wasn't taking a penny. That was costing me to do. But I felt the need to do it and to invest in that for A, the people that had bought my album and supported me for those years, and B, for myself. So there isn't always a sinister picture behind why you do things.
Like, no, and actually I think it's brilliant to be honest about that, because I've done that loads of times too. And I mean, I remember doing, I paid for a whole tour one time years ago when it felt like everything was looking quite wobbly, and I was like, I just need to do this. And I don't actually expect to make money from those are the projects I do. I feel like I just want to put another meter on the plank of me doing what I love before eventually I get to the end and I have to drop off into the sea.
Yeah,
so, and you know, the album, that's my project. I got to, when I did my first album on my own, I was like, well, this, if this is my gift to myself, actually, and then I don't need to be answerable to anybody else either.
Yeah, and that was my me. Money, yeah, that was me with my last album, and I could have gone a different route. But I felt such the need to do this for me and write about what I wanted to write about. And I think people can look on and make all their judgments. But that was, I love the way you said that. That was a gift to me, because I remember saying to my accountant, actually, okay, do you think I was kind of crazy doing that? Like, and he went, no, I don't, because I think you needed it.
That's nice.
And I think that you have reawoken something in you that just reestablishes how much you love doing what you do and how important to you it is. And I was like, yeah, actually, I can sleep easy knowing that I needed that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I loved every single second. It was like, I can't even put it into words, the love of just getting back in the studio and writing and getting up on stage. And, you know, it was an experience that I'm so pleased that I managed to do again 18 years on from the first time. And I want to carry on.
Yeah. How exciting is that? But also how bonkers to have
that.
I know. Only 2 decades in the middle. But I guess you've been learning so much about yourself and what makes you tick. And also maybe when you first stopped and had your first baby, it probably felt like a little bit of a relief, actually, to have time when it's just family and just time with your new bubba and not thinking about much else, actually. It's quite nice to put that to one side, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was like that. I think you've worked from a really young age also, being in Eternal and then doing solo albums. Your life isn't your own in a really great way, but you, I mean, a car would pick me up in the morning, I would go to work. And I always remember when I first sort of met Jamie, and there'd be, I don't know, a birthday party or something that everybody would be going to, and I would get out my piece of paper with my, you know, diary on it with big writing, and I'd go, the 17th, oh no, I can't come, I'm working, I'm away, I'm in Germany or I'm somewhere. And you kind of think, oh God, I'm young and I'm missing out on so many social moments for me. But at the same time, you know, you're off working and doing what you love, and it's putting it all into perspective. And I would always go to work, and I'd always prioritise that right up until I had Charlie. And then I said, I need to just take time out.
Yeah.
But like you say, in this industry, someone can come and fill your shoes very quickly, and there's, you don't know if the audience is going to be there. And I actually think as time went on, I really believed an audience wouldn't be there anymore. It's like I had convinced myself that there would be nobody remotely interested.
Well, you can hide behind that a little bit, can't
yeah,
you?
Like, yeah, and I think I did for a long time.
Well, so we're really encouraged to think like that. We're encouraged to think that we've only got the opportunity so long as they're, you know, being sort of every next footstep is being laid out in front of you. And I mean, I've had now, from where I'm standing now, I can say that a career is never just a straight up line. And there's always, I feel like there's been too many times to count where if it wasn't for me believing, okay, I know I'm going to do this, I'm going to do the next thing, I could have easily just stopped and done something else.
Yeah.
Like, it's yeah. No one's going to, if I said, oh, I'm not putting out an album, I'm not going to have like people at my front door going, come on. They go, oh, that's a shame. Well,
yeah,
thank you.
Same.
All right,
yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, go well. Good yeah. luck with the next bit.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So I think it does come down to you. And if that bit where you had your second baby and you'd made this record, and then maybe at the time as well, people didn't understand the significance of that. They might not have brought it up after a little
yeah,
while, you know?
Yeah, it almost just got, okay, you're not going to release it. Like you say, no one was going, you really must release it.
Yeah.
There's some real bangers on here, you know, you're mad. Everyone's just like, oh, okay. And then time goes, and the more it goes, the more you get into this world that you're in, and the harder it is to then believe that you can do it again. And I think I just got on that path of not believing.
So can you see that now when you look back, or were you aware of it at the time?
I wasn't aware of it at the time. I think I just embedded myself in this. I kind of just thought no one would be interested. I think I just talked myself out of anybody ever caring about anything I ever did ever again. And it was only, I suppose, took something quite big to happen in my life to think I've got nothing more, I've got nothing to lose anymore. Like, I feel like I've kind of lost such a lot anyway that what's my dignity? what's my musical dignity when I've lost all of this anyway? So, yeah, I think it took something sort of sad and big in my life to maybe give me the courage to go, I'll just give it a go. What's the worst yeah. that can happen? No
and
one's
what is
interested.
What do you mean by the sad and big thing?
I think getting divorced. You know, it took something quite heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Mom's calling, but it took something.
He's not here listening to this.
No, not here listening to me. It took something for me to maybe have to really look at myself to actually have the courage to find a way of making a new album and I suppose have something to write about.
Mm.
And actually, I think I'd love to say it was all these opportunities just come flooding in and knocking on my door, and it wasn't like that. It was me that actually said, okay, I feel vulnerable enough to write, and I feel that I've kind of taken such a personal hit with things that the worst thing that can happen is people don't like it and no one buys it. And okay, well, I kind of can go with that, because what more can people say about me?
That's actually pretty amazing to get to that point. That's actually a real strength, you know. A lot of people would not have, if they're feeling like that on the inside, they wouldn't feel like, okay, I'll just go for it anyway. There's a lot of, I think there's so many things we can do in our lives that we can either hide behind and, you know, that give us an excuse not to have taken that leap, actually.
Yeah,
because that's always the hardest bit, isn't it? Is, okay, finding out what the result was of those things, those ventures. And it's sometimes if, you know, circumstances mean, something didn't get released or something got changed, there's a little bit of me that was a bit relieved. Like, I didn't get to find out the ending of that story because it was probably going to be something that might have hurt me. So actually taking the leap and releasing stuff, I think you should give yourself a big thumbs up for that, actually. Yeah. It's a pretty big thing to do.
I'm pleased I did it. And I think I learned as well that you can still be a really good mum and still, you know, it's okay. I think I told myself for so long that I can't have it all. Mm-hmm. No, I realised that you can go away and you can work and you can be out of the house for a period of time without letting your kids down. And it's almost like I felt like you couldn't have both.
Mm.
And I used to think, well, you can only have both if you're really famous and you're really big and you're going on massive tours where all of your family can come.
Mm.
And actually, no, you can. I'm really lucky that my mum looks after the kids when I'm not here. Mm. So I've never had a nanny. I've just had my mum. And they've got a dad that's a real hands-on dad that can, you know, that can pick up the pieces when I'm not here and oversee everything. So, yeah, I realise it's okay. I mean, don't get me wrong, for a while I still got that real mum guilt thing. I think the mum guilt's gone.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm learning to not let the mum guilt embed.
Well, actually, is maybe a little bit of the reverse has happened. Maybe your boys, whether they're able to articulate it or not, they might have noticed a big shift in you, actually.
Yeah, I think so. And actually, what I've really learned, that they enjoy what I do. They actually are proud of it and enjoy it. Like, I come home the other night and I very rarely put my kids on social media. They don't want to be on it. And it's their choice. I'll never force them. And I was out having a bit of dinner with a girlfriend and Bo rang me and was like, where are you? How long are you going to be? I was like, I'll be home in the next hour or so. It's sort of about 8:30 or something. He's like, okay, can I wait up for you? I was like, yeah, of course, school holidays, no problem. He's like, can we do a TikTok when you get in? I was like, what, me and you? He's like, yeah, can we do a TikTok? And I need you to give me a shout out, because he had created a TikTok account with his friends and obviously said to them, oh, my mum can get us followers. So for the first time, they had embraced something like that with their friends, and it wasn't in a way that he wanted to be seen or be in the papers. He just wanted to say to his friends, oh, something I can do is to get us some more followers. Mum, give me a shout out. So I literally walked in. He had already learned what we had to do. And I'm just going, hang on, I don't know it. And he's like, don't worry. And I know that whenever I take a selfie or do a TikTok or anything, it takes me a good half an hour to get one I'm happy with. You know, I am a 50 picture person. I mean, I am not first one goes at all. And then I go back in and look at it and go, oh, God, I shouldn't have used that one. Like, overthink everything. So we did it once and he went, right, that's it, post it. I was like, this is anxiety for me, Bo. I can't post the first one. I need to redo. But I went to bed that night thinking, oh, God, my kids actually are embracing this little world that we live in, and that it's okay. And again, I mean, he's never done one since, and he never will most probably want to be on my Instagram again. But yeah, for those little 5 minutes of doing that with him, it felt like he really was cool with what we were, and that he'd embraced the fact that we could put something out there and it would get him some followers.
Yeah, and probably actually, you know, a lot gets made of, you know, women where we have got, if we know, in the pop world where, you know, you put on your outfits and do the thing in videos and stuff. But I honestly, I don't think our kids care at all about any of it.
And I made a real sort of joke once saying that when I released Stretch, it was sort of, I had a leotard and that on, and that Charlie was like, oh, great, you know, pray for Charlie from his mum's music videos, you know. But actually, Charlie had said that to me in such jest and such mucking around, but with a big smile on his face. And I read so many articles after that saying, oh, you know, the amount of comments I got, think of your children. I'm thinking, my kids are loving what I do. Like, they come to all my shows. When I was in the West End, they sat there and I think for the first time they experienced what it was like when you come out and you do your embow and the audience stand up. And Chaz come in to me after and just said, well, Mum, I kind of had no idea how good you were. And it absolutely melted my heart. I was like, there is not a person in this world that could appreciate what I've done more than what you've just said to me. Like, that means everything. He said, Mum, I didn't know how good you were. And I just thought, yeah, I'm proud of my boys and I'm so pleased that they are experiencing seeing me doing what I love rather than being at home, being kind of half of myself. So yeah. It was a big moment.
No, that blows me away a little bit, actually. Yeah. What an amazing thing. And it's also interesting you describe as, you know, the other alternative being half of yourself. Could you ever picture what would have happened if you hadn't had this sort of, I don't know, I think you described it before as having the lights put back on. Like, if you hadn't had that, can you imagine, do you think you would have just trundled along?
I think I would have done. I think I would have just carried going along until something gave, you know, just something somewhere gave.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I wasn't unhappy. I had a really lovely life and I have my boys and that. It was, I think, yeah, it was just having your lights switched back on and doing something you love. And I think I've learned you should be able to have it all. You should be able to have all elements of your life working together. There's no reason why you shouldn't have that. It's about this right network, the right people around you, having the right people supporting you, and actually not listening to the negatives, which there is always going to be negatives no matter what you choose to do. You know, we see them and we read about them and we're the first people to give them, you know. I'm no saint. I sit there and find myself judging someone and I really pull myself back. And one thing I will never do is judge anybody. And if I ever find myself judging, I really slap myself because I think I've been that person that's been heavily judged and I'll never judge again.
Yeah, you never actually know what's going on with people at home.
And you can't. You know, I just live and let live, and I don't know, there comes a time that I really do feel that, and I feel like as women we're getting there, that we're learning to support other women. And I always remember being so grateful when I was having a tough time when certain people would speak out. And I remember sitting at home just watching TV and there's a whole discussion on an ITV morning show, I think it was Loose Women. And everyone was discussing my life. And I remember Denise Van Outen going, you know what? I think it's great Lou's doing what makes her happy and I really support her. And I just think no one knows what goes on and no one should ever judge. And I remember that day, just hearing her say that gave me such a pickup, you know, like just something people, and I remember speaking to her after and saying, thank you, it made a difference. I think people at home that don't know what we do and how this is think that we just don't care about those things. But
yeah, well, you're also even if you have watched the program where they're discussing your life or read the article or comment, you're supposed to pretend you didn't see it.
Yeah,
I think that there's always, people feel like there's no way that those things are going to get, you're going to see it, you're going to experience it, and you'd actually probably see and remember pretty much everything. You know, like there's a box file in everyone's head of all the,
I always say I can read 100 really good comments but the bad one stays with me all day.
Of
and
course.
I forget all the good ones. All the good ones, I go, no, whatever. And then the bad one, you go, oh, God. You know, it's such a weird... But now it hits everyone.
Though.
It doesn't just hit people that are in the public eye. It hits anybody. It hits somebody, you know, just at schools. Everyone comments. And
yeah,
it's kind of a tough existence we live in.
It is, because also the thing about social media stuff is that because of the nature of it, when people put the comment, for whatever it is they're saying for that second, they've got your ear. And that never used to exist in the same way. And you've kind of got to remember that. Even if 10 people post something, that's still only 10 people.
Yeah, you know? I know. That's like in the scheme of, you know, I get a couple of bad comments. I'm like, God. And then sort of someone will go to me, there's like 56 million people in this country. I think you're okay. I'm like, right, okay, get a grip, Louise, get a grip. But I worry about the kids because my youngest is on private, obviously, but my eldest is at an age now where he makes a decision he wants to be on open on social media. I sometimes find myself checking his messages because I panic that people might say unkind things to him. But then he says to me, oh, Mum, I just mute them or I take no notice of them. Like, he's so aware of it that it's water.
Well, remember, he's the age pretty much that you're getting back to 17, you know, that invincible actually know best thing. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's not at all bothered by it. He's like, oh, whatever. But yeah, I think it's really hard for youngsters out there. They, you know, it's only going to go one way, and that's getting more and more intrusive into your life on every level. But
I
suppose also the pros are you get to, you know, we've had amazing pop stars that have come from posting things on social and on YouTube and all of those things.
Yep.
So it's sort of 50-50, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And also the world they're in. And if that's, you know, they'll be very au fait with tech and, you know, just navigate it. Because if that's the world you know, you just get on with it, don't you?
You know, yeah.
Yeah. I'm quite amazed and impressed with both of us. We've got to, I don't know how long we've been talking, we haven't actually talked about what I can only call at home the dancing thing I did.
Oh, the dancing thing I did, yeah.
Because it feels alien to me to call it its full name, and also it was, I think, so like best of times, worst of times, traumatic.
Yeah,
I
know.
Kind of it's distance myself from it a bit.
It's such a. I mean, I am one of those people that a lot of people I feel go back and watch it and can completely sort of put themselves back in the circle of it. I think I've removed myself quite heavily from it.
Yeah.
And again, for me, that program's very bittersweet.
Yes.
I loved learning to dance. And I loved the fire it gave me, and it reminded me of, I love performing so much, but I actually think the circus that comes with it is a really horrible machine.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't like the way it just gets completely taken out of context and everything becomes, I think we spoke.
We did.
Actually, when I was doing it. And I don't think we said a lot, but I remember you looking at me in a way of, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough.
And I, you know, there's a lot that's put on, I'll call it as no one's strictly, for, you know, that there's a lot that's put on it in terms of like its ability to change people's lives and all this. But actually, what I've always thought, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think actually it's the bit before that. It's what makes you decide now's the time to do something like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if you're, everything's going really well and you're really happy, you don't suddenly say, I'm going to put everything in my life on hold for 3 months and do something really terrifying. Like something needs a shake up.
Yeah.
And you don't always know what that is until you're doing it.
And I think I'd said no a lot of times
Me
to
too.
Doing it. And, and I think if I'm really honest, which most probably haven't ever been, I think I was scared that my time was running out to ever do what I love again. I think it was I was scared that I was getting older, and if I didn't do something soon that would maybe reignite some opportunity of me getting out there and doing what I love, I was going to lose that opportunity altogether. And then it works in the sense where it does open up opportunities, but it's also a really weird way of doing it.
Really weird.
Really weird way of doing
really
it.
Really weird.
And I think a lot needs to be looked at in the big kind of this big thing that sits above you whilst you're doing it. And I'm the most, like, anyone that knows me knows that I'm the most normal, you know, kind of, I've been doing this a long time. Like yourself, you just don't get affected by things. I can kind of just, I was like, I'll be the last person that gets suckered into this weirdness.
That's exactly how I felt.
It's just not me. I don't get suckered into stuff. I've just done it, been there, got the T-shirt. But it sucks you in. And you end up being in this kind of bubble of you not wanting to get kicked out. I used to think, I'll be fine if it, as long as I don't get kicked out week one, I'll be fine. I'll just do it. I'll be on national TV a few weeks and then I'll go home and it will all be fine. And you find yourself 5-6 weeks in going, I don't want to go home. I don't want to get kicked out. I don't want to be in the bottom two. And it becomes a huge deal.
Yeah, and it takes over every brain cell because
and you just can't
you're
believe.
Being filmed all the time when you're rehearsing and you're learning a new thing. And I mean, again, this is like a theory of mine because I've sort of had to try and analyse it because it's so bizarre. And like you, I was like, there's no way I'm going to become like the sort of cliched contestant.
Yeah.
But I felt all the emotions, but also could understand it all much, much better when you're on the inside of it. And it just, I didn't feel like I had any space for anything else while it was happening, which was really tough for my family.
Yeah, and same for mine.
Yeah.
And
Richard you don't hated think... it. I don't have any qualms about saying that. I mean, he loved seeing me dance and enjoyed that, but he really struggled with the nature of the programme, which is understandable.
Oh, I would be like, the same. Absolutely. I totally understand.
Like, I remember him week three, they made me do a samba, which to those not in the know is like one of the hardest Latin American dances.
Yes.
And
I think I did that quite, right at the end and I was useless at that.
It's pretty, it's built about up and down.
I don't know if I did the samba or the other one. I still forget.
Salsa?
Yeah, I don't know which one of them I did. Anyway, one of them ones.
And it was Love Week was the theme and they decided that the appropriate choice would be my wedding dance.
Oh, which is, kind of hard for Richard. Yeah.
He came after rehearsal. And said to Brendan, is there any way you can do this dance without touching my wife?
I know, it's such a weird...
It's
such a weird thing. And and there is obviously the way it's spun and the way the music... And what people don't see is behind the scenes, you're never in rehearsals on your own. There's always a lot of... I mean, I only ever did till the last 2 weeks, 10 till 6. I never stayed later than 6.
Yeah, I was the same, actually.
I was very...
Yeah, you need your evenings.
Yeah, and I had 2 kids at home. Yeah. And I
need your Sundays too.
Yeah, until I never worked on a Sunday.
Yeah,
and the last 2 weeks when you're doing 2-3 dances, I did stay later. But until the last 2 weeks, I never stayed there beyond 6 o'clock.
Mm.
And I used to get home in time to have dinner. And at the time, Beau, you know, it was still bath time and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a weird program. And in some ways, I'm sort of... love the fact it ignited something that reminded me so much of my passion, but I didn't enjoy, I never thought I would be suckered into something that is so on me.
Yeah.
That is so not my world. I'm so not attention hungry. I'm so like get it. I genuinely do what I do because I genuinely love it. And it comes from such a deep place performing that the outside of what goes on and the circus around it is actually something that I would never want to put myself or my family through again.
Yeah, I don't think you get away with doing that more than once in life anyway.
No, it's very bizarre and not many people are honest about it actually. It's a very bizarre sort of setup and it's great but it comes with its kind of weird, I don't know, it's such a weird bubble.
No, I'm totally with you, actually. I mean, I think, because people say to me, oh, would you do it again if you knew what you know now? And I'm like, well, it really helped me, like, lose a lot more inhibitions on stage. I think I've become a better performer, actually.
Yeah.
And it helped me embrace...
Helped me lose a stone. Heart was really positive.
Oh, yeah. But I always, for me, I always felt like my dancer board was just on loan. I was like, I've got this for, like, a couple of months,
tops.
Oh,
it goes so quick, doesn't it? I went on holiday straight after. I have never in 18 years stood on a beach in just a bikini. I am that person that wears something and I just get real... Which is crazy considering I made half of my career from like being an FHM in a bikini. But in real life, that was not me. I was like, yeah, I'm wearing the bikini on the beach. It's the first time I had felt really good about myself in so long in my body. But mentally, it was the fear of losing the passion and the fire of what you've just found again is so scary.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was the fear of... it's all going to end and I wouldn't be able to sing and dance anymore.
Well, then, in that case, it's It's good that we always had that outlet of actually knowing that that's something you cared about, because I always felt like it must be strange if you do that program and then you that's not part of your day job at all.
Yeah.
You know, the spark and stuff. I mean, I felt like I was like, okay, I'm going to cherry pick the things out of this that I've really loved and take them with me and leave a lot of the other stuff behind.
And I feel I did the same actually.
Yeah.
I feel that I what that did for me was it reminded me I was a good performer.
Yeah.
And if that sounds arrogant, I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but it reminds...
I think you're allowed to say that. That is what you do and it's, it is what you're good at. It's your talent.
It reminded me that's all I know, actually. And I think I had dampened down how important it was to me. And it's not... Our job isn't a job that you have to stop doing because you're a sportsman and you physically can't do it anymore. Or you're... You know, that job is no longer there. It comes from us. The drive has to come from us. We have to chase it. We have to work hard for it. We have to put the time in to make it achieve. Like you say, if we don't want to release another album, no one's going to be knocking on the door going, we're really all waiting for an album. We have to make that happen.
Yeah.
And I think for all the negatives to do with that program, and there are many, the positive was it reminded me that I'm really good at what I do, and that might not be everyone's cup of tea, and I don't expect to be, nor do I want to be, but for the people whose cup of tea I am, I'm good at what I do.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's also, it's a lot of it's about joy as well. I used to love seeing, you know, the effect of the dancing and the music and everything on the people in the studio and all that. I think it is, there's a lot of joy in amongst that, and learning new talents is good as well, learning new skills, you know.
I always remember, like, you know, Jason, who was the creative sort of director, used to say, if you're I was doing the Argentine tango, and that week Jamie and the kids had come actually to, you know, they do a day rehearsal. And they pulled me to one side, said, it's looking great, but can you try and stop smiling? It's like a sexy sort of mysterious dance. And when I watch it back, I'm just smiling from ear to ear. Like, there's nothing sexy about, like, my body's doing all it's meant to do, but my face is like, yay, cheese. Like, just like the happiest person in the world, just smiling in my own little world of, oh, I'm doing the Argentine tango. This is so much fun. And then sort of looking back and thinking, yeah, it would have been so much better if I could have just pouted for a moment, like even a second of the dance. Like, so yeah, after that, they realised that things like the Deadwood stage where I was playing, sort of doing Calamity Jane was much more up my street because you're allowed to completely grin the way through.
Yeah, but you know what? They can teach you the moves, but they shouldn't dictate what's on your face.
I know. I think they were trying to get the moment, and I'm like, you're doing a lot of smiling through this dance, Louise. It's meant to be like passion. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Sorry, I'll try not to smile. Yeah. In the end, they were like, just give her the smiling one. She's going to smile anyway.
Yeah, no, that's nice. I think that's good to smile. It is a joyous thing when you're dancing, actually.
Yeah,
it does release like all the endorphins, and it feels good. And the music, everything. I always love the live music.
Yeah. Oh my god, stuff. The band is so incredible. You just wish it could come without the 3 month kind of time span and the intensity.
Intensity, I think, for me, and also there was I struggle with the fact that there was such a boundary around it that you couldn't just go, okay, I'm going to have my family in my dressing room and this kind of thing.
Oh, I found that really hard. And I think actually if I could have done that, I think it would have made everyone else's lives a bit easier because they're part of it with you. That makes and that's what I, you know, my whole career I'm so close to all my family, not just my kids and at the time James, my mum, my brothers. And when I was in the band, we had a rule where family couldn't come on tour and stuff like that with you, which was part of the reason I left Eternal in the beginning, because I just was so homesick and lonely.
Yeah.
So when I went and did my own albums and toured, it was a free-for-all for all my family. You know, there was always space on that tour bus for my mum, my brothers, and even I always looked forward to being able to do it as a mum.
Yeah.
And my kids being such priority throughout that. And actually now what's so lovely is my whole team know that when we go on tour and we've got the bus, if I want the kids on there, their priority. There's, absolutely. You know, it's so nice being the boss. For so many years, I wasn't the boss.
I know, and you look back and you think, well, what were they worried about with letting my family come on the tour bus or
yeah, it's
boyfriend
ridiculous.
Or whatever?
Yeah, it just makes your life, it like you said, I think it evens everything out.
Mm.
And I think, actually, I really agree with you, to have just been able to have had everybody around. I mean, they used to always come to rehearsals. I always had someone in rehearsals, but then it was tough because they were always filming. But in my weekdays, like if I could have the boys up there, or I used to have friends. My mum used to come all the time.
That's
she was
nice.
The biggest fan of the programme. So, but yeah, it's a weird old bubble.
It is. Can your mum still watch it now, or is she like, has she OD'd on it?
Yeah, she's OD'd.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
That's happened to my friends as well. They're like, you've ruined it for me.
Yeah, because
it's too much.
Yeah, I have to say, I think they've all OD'd on it.
Yeah, my family too. I didn't even know the theme tune when I started. I hadn't watched it.
No, I was an X Factor girl. I liked the singing, you know? Like, but you, I just know, I do try and think everything for a reason.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I do.
I try and believe that.
No, I think you've got to be like that because that is the life you led and that is what happened and you've just got to be at peace with those things because I think, actually, in a weird way, motherhood's quite good like that because when things happen there just is no alternate life you were leading. You're just dealing with the here and now and reacting in the moment. You realize quite quickly, don't you, that you don't really have a lot of control over, you know, who your baby is and what they need from you, actually.
And every situation and relationship's so different and takes a different part of you. And kind of really weird now because my album's done and I'm obviously not in the West End anymore because it's all shut and it's the next chapter again. I'm starting again.
But you know how to do that now.
I don't know. Slightly nervous.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Do you ever meet women that you think are you pre the bit where you felt like the full whole you again? Do you ever meet women and think sooner or later you might have something significant happen in your life that kind of...
Yeah, I think I do. And I think I've got, I feel that in the last year or so, women really enjoy talking to me about things. I feel like even when they don't realise it, I feel like I end up having conversations that I think you've come to me because I feel that you think I can relate to all of this. Because it's such a weird, I don't know, it's such a weird, the last few years have been such a weird time for me. I feel that people feel that I've most probably been through any emotion that they could possibly be feeling. I'm a good soundboard. And actually, I'm just I'm launching it today, actually. It's called Lou Loves, which is a website.
Which is exciting.
And it's kind of about fashion, because I love my fashion, but in a much deeper way. I don't want to be an influencer, and I'm not trying to be, but a destination where I make life just a bit, you know, I can, whether it be you're looking for the perfect summer dress or actually you want to learn about meditating, and I talk about the fact that I don't do it the conventional way, but these are ways of doing it. And I don't know, just a little bit of a girly destination, a bit more of a magazine-y vibe. For me, it's, I like visuals. I work on visuals, and by having the website, I can still relate to lots of visuals going in there. It's where I'm comfortable, what I like to do creatively, rather than maybe what we're doing now, I would struggle with if I was hosting. Where by putting it all down on a page with Lou Loves, it becomes a visual thing that people can visit.
I can see that. That's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I usually ask creative mothers how motherhood has influenced their creativity, but I guess with you it's a slightly different thing, because if you hadn't had your babies when you did, you probably would have kept on with your performing for longer in that bit. But in a way, what's happened now is so much more significant, I think, because you've gone on that journey. There might have been things about how you were when you were younger that led you into that situation where you did feel like you shut things down because you didn't have that confidence about yourself.
But
because of the route you've taken, you're probably like more bold and confident than if you've been if you hadn't had all that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I've done kind of like a 360.
Yeah, no, I was doing lots of drawing with that.
No, I agree with you. I've done a 360, and I think that I feel that I'm a better singer and better performer today than what I was even back when I was fearless, because this time round, I appreciate every last second of it.
Yeah.
Where I think first time round, I knew no different. It was just what had been handed to me. Even though I worked hard,
yeah.
I had been handed the opportunities time and time again to go and play those big party in the parks, have top five records, albums. This time round, I know how hard it is to get it and I know how hard it is to keep it.
Yeah.
So I think whenever I perform now or I sing or I do any shows, it comes with such an honesty and such an appreciation that I've learned to block everything out and this is my moment and not feel bad about that.
Well, that's really special. I mean, I don't think everybody gets to say that in their whole lifetime anyway. So that's that's an amazing thing. And you're still very young to reach that point, actually.
Oh, I don't know.
No, you are. I think a lot of people never get to that point.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm by no means in this amazing place. Like, I'd be absolutely lying if I said I was. I still have so many struggles on a daily basis because I don't know if someone ever gets over getting divorced after 20 years and not working for a long period of time and regaining your ability to get back up on stage and do all of that. So I don't think that ever will get easier. Not for someone like me, because I think my biggest problem in life is my heart is most probably too big. You know, like I sometimes wish I could be a cow, because I think it'd be so much easier to not feel so much. I wish I didn't feel everything for everyone. Like, I don't want to feel hurt. I don't want to feel worried about everyone I know and love. I don't want to constantly worry that something might have a negative effect. Like, even doing chatting like with you today, in the back of my mind is, I hope I've said nothing that could cause anyone any hurt or upset. I don't want to feel like
you
that.
You haven't, by
but
the way.
No. But I
no, this is very much about you. I didn't want us to have a conversation that was trying to.
No.
Because.
But you know, you just naturally, when you're that person, you.
Yes.
You carry that.
Yeah, and you're a people pleaser. You want to make people feel good.
Yeah, and I think I'm. Don't know. I just. I'm just really appreciative that I'm still standing. And yeah.
More than that. More than that. And also, I can see even from. You know, I don't know you. Really well, but I can see from my vantage point how protected you are by, you know, the fact that your boys and your mum are here. I can see that you've got loads of people that are, they know that you're very open with your heart, and they're probably there like,
oh yeah,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, far too open with my heart. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to have a boyfriend, because first of all, the 16 year old is kind of like, well, they've got, you know, how they're going to get past me, I'll never know. I mean, hello, when I still sometimes I go, how would you feel if I went on a date? I don't even want to talk about it. I'm like, oh, God, okay, it's not looking positive for me when it comes to love life.
That, you know what? You're allowed to be selfish with that.
Yeah,
They don't get to dictate that. They can tell you to get more bananas. They can't tell you not to go on dates.
I know. Still haven't been on a date. Lockdown is not helping me in the dating world.
I don't think there's a lot of dates happening right now. I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Or people who just decided to move in and then suddenly it's like, whoop.
Oh, God, that's serious, right? You can't go anywhere. Or people that thought it would be a good idea that you'd only be in lockdown for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, why don't we just stay together 6 months
romantic.
On? You're still there. You're still in lockdown thinking, don't even know you that well.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I was very lucky in lockdown with the kids, my mum. And actually Lewis, who works with me, he had come down from up north. And he was working down in London. And I said to him, look, just stay with me till you get your... find somewhere to stay and you know, you get the jobs and that you want coming in. Anyway, lockdown happened, so it was actually really nice.
Aww.
Because there was a nice group of us, like
sweet.
Basically every chair around this table was taken at
that's
meal
really
times
nice.
And as you can see, I'm quite a people person, so I need people around me.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. I quite like the idea of that.
Not good on my own.
No, me neither, actually. But I'm quite envious of your 10 minutes in the morning up there. I quite like that for myself. I don't really
get... Yeah, but you still got a young one, so you don't really get that.
I do not.
Oh,
you
years.
Mentioned your book. What's your book? Is it an autobiography then?
No, it's... I mean, it's based... So I... They asked me to do a book, which, if I'm honest, I didn't have any desire to ever do. Wasn't something like a passion of mine. I said, I don't want to do an autobiography or anything like that. And they said, well, what books do you love? I said, one of my favourite books is called What I Know For Sure by Oprah Winfrey. And I often pick that up in the day and sometimes just read a couple of pages just to reground myself and to just reestablish where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, would you not be willing to do something like that? I thought, actually, yeah, because I feel like I could say things that could really help people.
Oh, that's lovely.
So it's kind of like about experiences and maybe emotions and things I've gone through, but what I've taken from them. So what I know for sure is that you will overcome those, because if I can, you can too. So it's a bit for people that maybe are looking for some, just some help along the way.
Yeah, well, who isn't really?
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a positive.
Yeah.
But I suppose talk about things that are quite personal, but not in a way of an autobiography, much more in a...
Yeah, like a collection of...
Yeah, it's called You've Got This, because I used to always say, my mum would always say to me, or I'd say to my mum, if I was having a bad day, she'd be like, babe, you've got this. Come on, you've got this. Like, okay, I've got this. Have I got this? I don't think I've got this. Okay, I've got this. yeah, so it's been a really nice... It's been quite a cathartic. It's kind of was like writing the album all over again.
That sounds lovely. And actually, I think there'll be a lot of people this year in particular that will be feeling like, let me take stock of where I'm at and what's important to me and what isn't, because we've all been forced to stop and think.
Yeah.
And I think there will be things that change because of how we're living our lives at the moment that you don't want to change back.
Exactly. And there was, and in the beginning, I wasn't sure what I was going to write about. And then it just all happened and it all just kept coming out. And there were so many points and so many ups and downs, personal, career, everything, where, you know, and it's not about anyone else. It's not a big spill. It's just about overcoming things that are tough and also really appreciating all the great things and it being okay about celebrating them as well.
Yeah, well, I think it sounds like you've really given yourself a lot of space just to be your own person and be comfortable in your own company and your own thoughts. And I said again, I do think that there's a lot of people that never really get that chance, that they never do that thing of stepping back for themselves. It's actually a really powerful thing.
Yeah.
And I think you're a lot stronger and more inspiring than you give yourself credit for.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
It's impressive. So that was my conversation with Louise. And don't you agree? I think it takes genuine bravery, actually, to stand up and say, I really want this for myself, even though you're being criticised. And I think she has given herself the space to be her own person and to find herself and have self-confidence and self-worth that's away from, you know, you obviously feel a lot of self-worth in your role as a mother, but we need something. It's okay to be a little bit selfish, actually, especially if it's something that you know is like, it makes your soul sing when you're doing it. So I'm really impressed with Louise. I think she's a lot tougher and stronger than maybe she even gives herself credit for. And maybe that might inspire some of us to think, if it's something that makes you happy and you know that when you go to bed at night, you know that what you're doing, you're good at it and it brings you joy, then, you know, you just got to kind of accept the fact that some people are not going to understand your motivation. But so long as you do, it means you can sleep well at night. You know, there's always going to be someone to criticise what we're up to anyway. It's so easy to judge. And actually, I remember even when I started this series, the Spinning Plate series, I said I was going to be interviewing working mothers about how they make it work. And somebody in the comments put, oh, I hope it's not, you know, all women that just say they're now teetotal and they don't do yoga every day and that's how they cope. Oh, couldn't stand that. And I really thought about that comment because I thought, if you're someone that in order to feel good about yourself and keep some kind of sanity while you're raising your kids has decided to give up alcohol and do really bendy exercise, I'm like, fair play to you. I really think that. I'm like, whatever it is we're doing to cope and to feel good about ourselves and to feel strong, just like, let's really not rip shreds out of each other, because we're all just finding our own way, actually. No judgment here. And if I've learned anything from these conversations, it's that you don't really know what's going on with people's lives unless you really stop to listen to what they say. We don't always do that. It's quite a judgmental society sometimes, even on Instagram life, you know? Anyway, I'm waffling on a little bit, but I do believe in this stuff. I think it's we've got to be giving each other
big thumbs up, really, rather than trying to work out where someone's doing a hack that we think is a bit naff or superficial or whatever. Yeah, God, I really am waffling. I'm boring myself. I'm going to go. See you next week. Thanks so much again for your time. Thanks for all your feedback. A little fledgling podcast like mine really appreciates it. So thank you very much. And I will see you next week. I haven't actually decided which order I'm going to release them in, which is why I'm not telling you who I'm going to do next week. I'm going to have a little think, but it will be someone that I think is fabulous, of course. All right, just like you. All right, lots of love. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.